heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see
you. God bless you, love you, man.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy.
Amen.
Shining in the light of your glory, you love him. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy. Holy,
and
I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see you. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading in Ephesians, and then we'll go to Genesis 4. Ephesians 1, Genesis 4. Now, remember, the Lord willing, this coming Sunday, Brother Forney will be with us ministering for us.
Amen.
So keep that in mind. And Sister Kathy's mother, you know, she fell or done something. But she went home today. That was the good report from her that she, Brother Ray and them, wasn't able to come this afternoon. But she went home today from the hospital. So we appreciate the Lord for that.
Amen.
All right. And Sister Scoggins, she had an operation yesterday, and she's at home today. And she said the doctors, nurses, and everything said that they'd never seen anything like it. It was amazing how everything was so marvelously great.
Amen.
About the operation.
Amen.
And everything. It worked so good. So we thank God for doing that. Amen? So remember these announcements. And just let's see, anything else? So we'll go to Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Genesis 4. The Heavenly Father, we thank you for you, Lord, being who you are and who you're trying your best to reveal yourself to us. And we ask you to just help us get out of the way that you could reveal. Because we know that we're the hindrance. We're the one that's causing the problem, not you. And we just ask you to help us to set aside ourselves and get ourselves clean and out of the way where that you could use us and speak through us. Forgive our sins and lead us by thy grace. Thank you for being with all of these. It was the operations and the sicknesses and the things, the hospitals and things, being there and being out now, Lord. And we pray that you would just continue to bless. Have your way with us tonight, Lord. As we speak about you, you come and, Lord, honor your word and touch the sick among us, because you promised it. And it's not whether we're good enough for that, because we could never be good enough for you to do anything. But it's because you promised it, and we believe you. Thank you for your loving grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember, we're reading in Ephesians, and the reason we've said that it starts before the foundation of the world. And it goes all the way through. This, these about 11 verses that we've been reading, and that we can just stop in each one and, you know, and tie it together with where we're at in the message. To me, then, the Word of God is beautiful. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, okay? Up in heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now we have redemption, so that means it had to be a fall. Right? So you're coming down, all right? Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, where? Of the fullness of times, where? Here. Right? He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after, see, coming here, getting into problem, having trouble, doing everything. Then we put our trust, what? After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. All right. Now we'll go to Genesis. We're just easing a little bit through Genesis. And let's see, we got three. I announced four, but it's three. 3:21 through 24. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. Now listen, and live forever. Now he's going to have to get him out of there because there would be a problem, right? The man would not be eternal. But it'd be hard to take that man out of situation if you just, you think about it. Okay, we'll let that get. But look. He says, behold, a man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I hope we can get to the thought that I have, but I want to make sure we follow up a little bit on this past Sunday's message and then tie this together with what we're looking at. Now, before we go into the point, we're going to talk about how did Adam die? All right. Now that's the thought. And just remember now, there was no physical death in the garden. Now I'm using that the way I want it to be used. There was no physical death in the garden. Death came out of the garden. Okay? Now, but there was something happened to mankind while he was in the garden. And that was what I was trying to get at Sunday, as to see what was the fall. And we seen that there's one thing for sure, it could not be the soul of Adam and Eve, because their soul, according to blasphemous names, your prophet saying that their soul was eternal. All right? Now, so then you got a problem. Eternal soul living in a mortal body that was a creation. All right. And what we're trying to do now is to y'all just come on in. Right. So Brother Bob and him getting here a little behind tonight, but come on in. It ain't bothering us none. But now, if he had eternal life in his soul there in the garden, and the prophet said he did, so now you can say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, then you're going to have to say you don't believe the prophet, so that's your business. You know, that's your choice. Well, I'll explain this way or that way. Go ahead. Yes, do what you want to. You can't argue with what he said. He said that the eternal life into the nostrils of Adam made him an eternal person with God. All right, and that was what I was trying to bring out Sunday, was that, you know, that God's pattern, the way he started it, is what he wants. Amen. And that's the way he's going to end it. Amen. That's why Paul says at the end of what we read, he's talking about the redemption of the purchased possession. Right. All right? The soul is redeemed by the new birth. Amen. But the body is not redeemed. Amen. You know, it's redeemed. The price is paid. It's done that way. But it's not into manifestation into the human flesh. If you don't believe that, just go look in a mirror. Yeah. Then wait about 5 years and look again. Yeah. You'll find out there'll be a lot of hairs gone, there'll be a lot of things, and you'll realize something went wrong. But all right, now, we want to talk about something, but remember, I want to tie it back now to what happened with Eve and Adam. And we know for certain that Eve was deceived. She thought she was right. She even said, you know, I have there in the scripture, chapter 4, verse 1, that I have gotten a man from the Lord. She knew that that was right, and it was right. The man, Cain, had to come from God. Satan couldn't create. So she wasn't making it as far off as we'd think, but it was just a point of what she was saying. She was saying she was right in the way she was bringing it. And she still thinks that today. All right? See, then there's where the deception part of it is. But when Eve received that life, remember Sunday where Brother Branham was talking about? Eve actually received the life, not a physical seed. And that's why it doesn't say that. It doesn't say seed of the beast. That was in the garden, yeah. But it's the seed of the serpent in the Bible that you're talking about. And the seed of the serpent is not a physical seed. The devil don't have any form of physical seed. He only perverts what God has created. He can't do anything himself. That's plain sense, right? All right? Then it's not the seed, see, of the beast that we talk about. It's the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent was the lie that Satan told Eve in the garden to get her to reason on the word. All right. Now, where was her problem? Her body's no problem. Your body isn't, the Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. There's nothing to it. You can't do anything. It's dead. All right. That's sensible. All right. So it's not the body that's a problem. And the soul of Adam and Eve was eternal. So that wouldn't be the problem. But it was in her spirit realm. Her memory, reason, conscience. He started dealing with her. Talking to her. You know, telling her. You know, look what you was made for. Look what you are. Look at all the animals. They're reproducing. And said, now, you know, you was made for that. See, Adam just won't tell you that. Well, you know, Adam probably did know a whole lot more about it than Eve did. Well, sure. But still, see, her lust for knowledge brought her into memory, reason, conscience. And like I said now, remember, Eve didn't have no background. You and I have the whole background of our lives. We're born into the world. You come into the world, everything is wrong, is bad languages, all kind of doing around you, and you're just tied up into all of that. Our flues is just totally blocked up. But Satan had to block up the flues, if you'll go, and we'll read a few little quotes. But if you'll go to the greatest battle ever fought and listen to Brother Branham explaining what happened to Eve in the garden.
Yep.
All right? You know about the old boilers and things, you know, and the pipes in it and the doings in your houses that used to, you know, they had them that had these grates and things and they had flues in it. Well, water traveled in that to heat up and, you know, warm the house. All right, it was called flues, and then we got flues in this and flues in that, flues in your air conditioner, there's flues in all kind of things, you know, because it's just pipes and channels and ways of things moving and what it's to be done. Well, see, Satan then went through the mind of Eve, you know, and got that mind, see, as like I said, there's no need of us talking about what happened in the garden to people that's supposed to be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
You ought to know. And then anybody else ought to know with plain common sense,
yep,
as I said Sunday, that Eve didn't eat no apple.
Right.
That's just plain, that ought to be out of the way and,
right,
and forget it, you know. All right.
Right.
But now, think about it. Whatever happened in the garden, whatever you want to talk about, think about, your ideas, just remember that it started by Eve doubting God's word.
Right, sure.
He said, you know, not to eat of the tree, you know, watch, lest you die.
Yep, right.
Now follow that with me tonight, lest you die.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat of the tree, lest you die.
Right.
All right? So Satan said, you shall not die. And listen, Eve thought she was so right in getting a child from God. And you know what? She didn't die right then, physically speaking, because there was no physical death in the garden. It was outside. Because you get on over into Genesis 5 and 5, and it said Adam lived for 930-something years, and he died. All right.
Right.
And he died.
Amen.
But see, he was told in the garden not to do that lest you die.
Right.
And the deception was that they wouldn't, you know, you're not going to die. Well, see, by her, God not zapping her all at once and killing her,
yeah,
the longer she lived, the more she thought she was right.
Right. That's right.
Now, come on, let's get it right now. The longer she lived, the longer, more that she thought she was right. Because she had more time.
Yep. Yep.
You ever heard the one I was looking at part today? I just had a few minutes to get things together in the notes and things. But Brother Branham was talking about that Adam and Eve, and this is not the quote I was looking at today, but he said that there was Adam and Eve having church. He said they was in the bushes with their fig leaf doctrine, their covering. He said they was having church. And he said they thought, I'll be glad to find because I was looking at you, see. He said they thought they could stand before God with their fig leaves. But said, once God came down, there ain't no religion to stand before God. No covering of mankind will do anything before God.
Amen.
You're standing there naked as can be.
Right. Amen.
All right. But get to point now. Eve was told not to partake of that tree. It says, lest you die. All right. Now, so when Satan began to deal with Eve through her spirit realm, you know, memory, reason, conscious affections and things,
right,
then she spiritually died.
Right. Right.
Now, she didn't lose eternal life.
No. Right. That's right. Amen.
There's where we got some things we got to deal with. You say, well, I just believe the serpent seed, it just happened this way. It was different. Yeah, and you know nothing about it, because what has been the last three messages? I hope you wake up and listen to me for a few services. I have been trying to go back there because, remember, we spent all 14 sermons up in heaven.
Right.
Now we're coming down to earth. All right? Now getting it down into plain language. I was laughing today because I read something else. And Brother Brennan said, see there? He said, we'll read it a little bit, where that the devil said, that Eve said that devil made it so simple. Well, you know what I was sitting there laughing? I said, well, there's one thing about it, Lord. Everybody says I can't make it simple, so I must not be the devil, at least on that much, because I can't make it simple. Everybody, you know, said, just try to make it simple. Well, I can't do that, so I know for certain I'm not the devil, because he could make it simple. And that was, you know, so I get a good kick out of it sometimes. Okay, listen. So Eve, when what happened in her spirit realm, memory, reason, conscious affections, etc. The second realm, no matter what you call it. All right. And you know yourself the way that I've always tried to explain it, because to me it's a wonderful thing that Brother Branham in his early ministry basically taught body, soul, spirit. I said basically because there's times he would be bringing his words in the correct orders and the thing. But then after the word began to unveil to him to fulfill Hebrews 11, what is it? Hebrews, okay, somebody get it for me. 1040? No, it ain't 1040. What is it? Hebrews, where it's talking about the dividing of the soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow, you know. And the scripture divides the soul and spirit. All right, so Brother Branham, in his last days, it was correctly brought to him, but he didn't have to go preach sermons of correction because he had never taught what people taught. He'd always taught outside realm, five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Second realm, no matter what you call it, he always taught five senses to the second realm, memory, reason, conscience, affections, love, and all, and one sense for the inner man. Either faith or doubt. Now that's through the whole message. And the reason I'm giving you that again tonight, we're going to read here in a minute, and Brother Brown will say, see, she reasoned in her soul. Now I'm trying to bring it down to where we can follow a line. Last two messages and this message, and for a while, we're going to deal like this. That what happened there, back there, is still happening now. Right? It's still going on now. Don't you think just because you're a born again Christian that the devil can't bother you. May I quote your prophet? We are no match for the devil. Is that a good quote? Oh, but bless God, he can't get me. No, he's already got you when you talk like that. He's already got you when you think that he can't get you. The whole world was deceived over the white horse rider and the seals and the things like that until the prophet brought the message. And even he was deceived. Oh, but Brother Dale, I don't like the way you talk. May I quote Brother Branham then? You do what you want to. He said, I'd have made a horrible mistake on the first seal. He said, if God hadn't have come and corrected me on something I was fixing to bring. That's up to you. See, that's why people don't like me. Because when I say something, I back it up with a quote. And they don't like that because they want to reason it out in such a beautiful form. I wish I could. But it just don't work. Because why be deceived? That's why the Bible says, lest Satan tempt you. As he did Eve, what? Listen, do you understand that scripture? Through the simplicity, it says, that is in Christ Jesus. Do you realize what the scripture's saying? That Satan is going to take the revelation of Christ, the things of Christ Jesus, and he's going to deceive with it. Brother Brother Branham said you can call him what? Jesus, Jesus, and worship the devil. All right, then. See, through the simplicity, it didn't say the devil's going to deceive us through head knowledge. The devil's going to deceive us through worldly things and you know, and all like that and bring in the world. It doesn't say that. It says through the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And remember what the Bible also said, I was trying to bring out Sunday. What? Satan's ministers are as the ministers of righteousness. That's the scripture says that now. Brother Dale, are you calling the preacher that? I didn't do it. Paul did. I didn't do it. Can I quote him? He must have seen it. He had a couple of guys there that he really got a hold of. Who was it? Can I always pronounce it? But it's Philetus and Hymenaeus, the two. You know, that he turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And all that thing. And you know what they were teaching? I'm trying to describe to you how Satan deceives with the Bible, with the message of the hour. Those two men were teaching that the resurrection was already past. Do you know that I can take the Bible and prove to you that that was what Paul was saying? They took their doctrine from Paul's teaching. And Paul was teaching the truth of the resurrection. Because we just read it to start with. Where are we? Resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the resurrection done took place. Did your prophet say, where's the resurrection? He says, it's inside of you. In your spirit. All right. You see how easy it is to deceive? I said this over 40 years ago when the two-soul doctrine was hitting the land and deceiving people. I said, you think that's deceiving? That ain't even nothing. I said, anybody with one-eyed and high sense, certain old brother used to say, you know, all the time about it just to explain something. I said, that ain't even sensible. I said, it'll come a day they'll be quoting you, Brother Branham, to the letter to prove their doctrine. Because, see, back then, that feller was saying Brother Branham was wrong. You know. Now they're saying Brother Branham's right. Okay, all right. What were we trying to describe? Death. What happened to Eve in the garden? Death. But not the way you're determining the word. And for heaven's sakes, don't try to determine it with Brother Branham. Death means eternal separation. Now, did Adam and Eve go to eternal separation? May I quote the prophet? Come on, folks. You know when I say things like that, I'm standing behind something he said. One day, Brother Branham was explaining, he said, one of these days, he said, Adam will reach over and touch Eve. He said, Eve will reach over and touch Abel, Seth. It'll come right on down through the Bible. So let's don't talk about an eternal death. That way, there is an eternal death, right?
Sure.
But I'll put this in before I start. It's impossible for a Christian to die.
Right.
Christians don't die.
Nope.
They go to sleep. Now you ought to know where I'm heading, what we're talking about. But what? Talking about it where it is here today. Isn't it so odd that we could take Webster's and read and define what death is, and we could look at it, and for thousands of years we've looked at somebody and said, oh, they're dead. Their heart quit beating, they're dead. Put them in the grave, they're dead. We know what death is. How come your prophet was the only man that knew what death was? May I quote him? He said that eagle was the only one that could tell you what death is. It's in the seal book. It was this eagle in the end time, the prophet, that could tell us what death is. And see, he didn't deal with death like dying, like looking at the grave, you know, looking at the body. He looked at people that were alive. That the Bible said they were dead in sins and what? Trespasses. Said they were dead while he liveth. See, he knew what death was. And you know what death, the worst death of all, is perverted word. Okay. Think about it then. There was no natural death in the garden. The only situation you got of death in the garden is one. That's when God killed the animals and took the skins. It was still in the garden. No physical death for mankind in the garden. All right. So then there must be something about this death that happened to Adam and Eve that would transmit down to you and I tonight and would be standing before us as well as it was them. But Brother Dale, I just went the other day and the doctor said my heart was still beating. I get a good kick out of them when they tell me, the doctor, he'll tell me, he said, yeah, Sam, your heart's still out of rhythm. I said, is it still beating? He just looks at me, shakes his head. Well, when it quits beating, I ain't going to be talking to the doctor. Right? Come on. Listen, folks. So what happened in the garden was worse than the literal death that transmitted itself outside the garden between Cain and Abel. And it was worse than the death that we read it were, or quoted were, and it said, and Adam died. Spiritual death is worse than natural death. Yes, but Brother Dale, Christians can't have spiritual death. I wish you hadn't thought that. Because I will remind you that there was a time in mankind when he taught a Trinity. And he baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and all those things and swore it as being the gospel. And it wasn't. It was death. Spiritual death is a whole lot worse than physical death. Physical death is just separating you from your family or separating you from friends or, you know. But spiritual death can separate you from Almighty God. Oh no, not to the point that you're eternally lost. That's the point we want to get at. The point we want to get at in a minute is the point of something to understand. But let's just read a couple of things, and then we'll, let me finish this up from Sunday, and then we'll go on. Go ahead with number one, which I wish you would read or listen to the tape that Brother Branham has called about the greatest battle ever fought, 1962, 3:11. He's talking about the greatest battle, he said, that ever happened was in the mind of mankind. Because ever death ever happened come from the mind of somebody. Right. Abel didn't like, Cain didn't like Abel's doctrine. I wish I could get back there one of these days and preach again like I used to. You know, you go back in that garden and you can find those seals out and the thing. You know, that we talk about the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Was that what the prophet brought out in the seals? What about going back in the garden with the deeds of the Nicolaitans? What about bringing the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which was the doctrine, outside the garden, and when it become a doctrine, it become a law, and Cain killed Abel? Very simple, then, right in through the seals, right in Genesis. Caught us all the way through the Word of God. The whole thing. So the battle raged when Eve opened her mind to listen to her reasoning. That's the flue that come down. Now listen to it. That's the channel to run down. Her reasoning. She, in her soul, she reasoned. Now, you see where you would be deceived. If you didn't understand a simple little key. The soul has only one sense, either faith or doubt. So now, he's not wrong. It's just his wording of things. Because you cannot go in the Bible. I invite you to take the Bible and run a concordance on the word spirit in the Bible. And I want you to, just by letters of words off the page, define between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of man. You're going to have to read with the before and the after to find out what it's talking about. Because there's no difference in the word spirit. Right? See, man was not responsible for these things until the opening of the word came. The basic doctrine of mankind is what? Have you ever heard this one? Do you know that people, there was a doctrine, I heard it before I come in this message. There's a doctrine out there of people that believe you didn't have a soul until the law came. You ever heard that one? That you were just body and spirit. And when the law came, it started your reasoning, memory, conscience, affections, et cetera, and brought a soul into being. Well, it's like I told a man that was teaching, and I said, well, according to the Bible, it says that he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. He said, I never thought of that. I mean, that's the guy that was teaching the lesson on Dirk Dorville at the plant. And he was doing a series on that when the law came, it brought a soul to mankind. He said, I never thought of that. But you know what? It didn't change him. He kept on teaching his doctrine. That's his choice. But you see what I'm talking about? Her reasoning. She in her, may I put it this way, and let you decide, in her second realm of her being. Outside realm, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Second realm, memories and conscious affections, love, etc. Third realm, faith or doubt. So even her second realm began to reason because she couldn't do it in her soul because her soul was eternal. And it would not allow her to receive things. So she fought that thing. And it took Satan a long time to be able to get through to her. Amen. Huh? So think about it. Her eyes was sight. She saw the serpent. He was beautiful, handsome, far better than her own husband. He was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. He was probably a fairer man than her husband. He looked like a great muscular beast standing there, how great he was. And he was trying to tell her what a great thing it was. And the first thing he did, first thing she did, she opened up her mind. Where's the prophet say the greatest battle ever fought is where? In the mind. Right? The first thing she did, she opened up her mind. And when she did, human reasoning's caught in. Why wouldn't that be a thrill? That's the thing he does to a woman today. Some woman with a lovely little husband finds some great big masculine man. This man will try to open up her reasons. Remember, that's Satan. That's the devil. Or vice versa, man to the woman, a woman to the man. Okay, either way. What does he do? Work in that reasoning power. The conscience or something begins to move through. Right? But give God's word the first place. The man can't even come to listen. He can't sin. Hallelujah. He's bringing it up. A man cannot sin until first he casts aside God's word. He can't even sin. That's disbelief. Until first he gets rid of the word of God, the presence of God, he cannot sin. Eve could not sin until she laid aside God's word, opening up her channel of reasoning through her soul and begin to reason. Why? Certainly, my husband has never told me these things. But I believe that he told me I shouldn't do this. But you know, you make it so real and plain. Right? So I know I ain't the devil, at least all of it. Because I can't make it plain. I believe it would be wonderful because you're making it so plain to me. See, there was the first battle. And through that battle has caused ever other war. And every bloodshed that ever come was caused right there at Eden. She disbelieved God's word. Now, I remember a brother one time preaching at a minister's meeting that we were having. And he had everybody so involved with his presentation. And his presentation was that Joseph, you remember, back there, Potiphar's wife, you know the deal in the Bible. He said, see there, said Joseph was a slave. And said, Joseph, all slaves, remember? And it is true at the basics of slaves were eunuchs, right? Because you didn't have a guy in your house. That wasn't a eunuch around all your 1,000 wives. Right? And that's a true point. But he said Joseph was a eunuch. I thought, well, you know what? I didn't know they had reconstructive surgery in the Old Testament. What do you mean reconstructed? Joseph got married and had 2 kids. See what I'm talking about? Satan can make it. Ministers can make it so sweet till it's so beautiful. Well, that's right. That's right. Them slaves, them people are slaves. That's what I say. You think that's real good and simple, but it ain't even the truth. I'd rather have somebody to tell me something that I've got to go home and think about than something so simple I can see it right off. Okay. He said that one little iota of God's word was disbelieved, caused all this trouble. How are we going to get back disbelieving the word? You can't do it. Got to shut off all these other things. Conscious memories and say reasonings and all of these other things, casting down reasonings. We don't reason about it at all, nothing at all. So is it possible for a Christian to have problems with their reasoning, memory, conscience, and affections and that? I don't think you need to raise your hand and say, Brother Dale, I don't see what you're talking about. Because you know yourself how Satan deals in your mind. To get you to reason upon the Word of God. You tell me it can't be done. You explain to me how all these denominations and things come to pass. You explain to me how the Word went into the ground at Nicaea when it was the bride of Jesus Christ. And people don't like that. I wasn't the one that said it. Brother Branham said the bride went to Nicaea. Oh, I've heard that explained. Yes, right here. So wonderful. The bride went down there. Then they seen it was wrong. They took off and run. And that may be true. But you know what they took? They took that little seed that man, Athenaeus, or Aeneas and Athenaeus, ever how you pronounce his name, that was teaching at Nicaea in 325 A.D., was teaching that Jesus was a demon god, another substance. He was not the substance of God. He was a like substance. They took that out and it went with them. It was the bride that got deceived at Nicaea. No, no, no. See, that's where you want to hear those sweet, wonderful stories. Because you don't want to think no way of thinking that you could be sitting there right tonight deceived. And to realize that somebody's got to help us. Got to preach the truth to us or we'll go deceived right on. You think I enjoy my job of that? I don't like to preach to the bases and try to show you and me where our wrong is. But I know I have to. When you believed in a Trinity, and you swore by the Trinity, and may I quote Brother Branham, he carried a Baptist Bible, he said, and converted them to a Baptist faith. That's his words. But see, we don't like it like that. We don't want it in that realm. But remember, the greatest battle ever fought. Go ahead with number two. The greatest battle ever fought, paragraph 106. But the devil will try to come right back. See, if he can get in there at all, he's got your army routed right then. You've got your senses. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. They're all right, but don't trust them unless they agree with the Word. They're all right. But if they disagree with the Word, now that's see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. If they, there's a lot of things ought not even have to go into memory and reason. You ought to be able to say, that ain't right. Yep. You know, that ought to be in the senses. Right? But look, don't work. Don't you listen to them. Now, imagination, conscience, memories, reason, and affection, they're all right if they agree with the Word. But if your affections don't agree with the Word, get rid of it. You'll blow a flue. Right quick. See, if your reason disagrees with the Word, get away from them. That's right. The engine, if your memory, if your imagination, if your conscience or anything disagrees with that Word, on the in, that with that's what's on the inside, get rid of it. Huh? Look what he says, what happened. When God can get a man in his hands till he gets senses, conscience, everything cleaned out until it stands with God behind it in the Spirit, there's not a devil in the world can poke a doubt in there. And that can only be done by the revealed Word of God. That can only be done by the revealed Word of God. You see why I'm so hard in what I do? Not a devil in the world can poke a doubt in there if you've got it lined up with the Word. Look what he goes on, Paragraph 159. God would heal you right this atmosphere, right in this atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, where he sent you. God will give it to you. Just believe it. Amen. Open up them flues of the soul. Now look at him, what he's put some. And body, senses, and conscience. In other words, the whole man. Right? Body, spirit, and soul. All needs to be worked on. And just let God's word penetrate first. Take that mind. There's the battleground. Open up that mind. That's the battleground. There is where the devil sits in array. Right here in the front line, your mind. Open it up and say, open up that mind. Battle Satan right there in that. Ever doubt, I doubt my doubts. Amen. I'm doubting my doubts now. I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something's going to take place. Sure it will. When you can get every bit of that whole man lined up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Huh? Something's got to happen when you do. But Eve brought it in the garden. And I don't have any other words to use, so forgive me till I get around to the point to where you'll see what I'm talking about. She accepted Satan's lie. And when she did, in her spirit being, of her memory, reason, and conscience, death set in. Death set in. If you will, I ask you to read or study Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And you'll hear Brother Branham explaining a lot about Eve and the things. And you'll hear him explaining about how that Mary had to be virgin in body and mind.
That's right. Yeah.
To bring forth the Christ child. See, if that mind had not agreed with the Word, how could the Holy Ghost have ever talked to her? But what is it, folks? What do you think about? Let's read a couple of things Brother Branham said and just let it just fall on your thoughts. Go ahead to number 5. Let's read something Brother Branham said in the breach between the seven church ages and the seals. You start at paragraph 90, go about through 93. When a person is struck with diseases, aches, and pains, one time they wasn't that way. But they're groaning. Why? They're not right. There's something wrong, and they're groaning and trying to get back to where they was when they had health. Is that right? You know, you get sick, you groan, you pain, you want to get back to where you was when... All right. Now watch him as he ties it to the point. They're groaning, trying to get back to where they was when they had health. And when nature and people, as the Bible said, are groaning, it shows there's something that they're not in their ought-to-be condition. They have fallen from somewhere. Now, we don't need anybody to interpret that for us. See? For, of course, we know it was eternal life they had fallen from. And they lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the garden and brought all nature under them to death. Now, there's a direct quote. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to believe what the prophet said. I am too.
Amen.
I'm going to believe what he said. But I'm going to pray and ask him to give me the right understanding of what he's talking about. Because it's a very deceiving point. How did Adam die? We have established through the blasphemous names that the prophet said Adam had eternal life in his soul and that he was an eternal person with God. Okay. Now, he says, Adam fell. See? For we know that it was eternal life they had fallen from. They lost their claims on eternal life. Why is he talking about claims? If you got eternal life, why you got to have a claim? Right? See, he says what he means and means what he says, but it takes the Holy Spirit to bring it out in the right order or we'll miss it. Because that's like Acts 2.38 and Matthew 28.19. You know, both of them being the Word of God and both of them being right. But we sure want to argue about it, don't we? You got a world split over that little part right there, right? Religious system of world split over. And like I told you, I heard a person one time say, we take Matthew 28:19 for our baptism. No, excuse me. We take Acts 2:38 for our baptism. The denominations take Matthew 28:19. I thought, how deceiving can you be? Brother Branham never come to explain that you rip out Matthew 28:19 and throw it away because it's wrong, and you stick with Acts 2:38. Because that's the reason I'm baptized the way I do, because I heard him one day say it. He said, this is the way to baptize. I baptize you, my brother, my sister, to fulfill the great commission of Matthew 28:19. To baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Both scriptures is right. Right? But it just needed to be put together. Now there's the Holy Ghost. All right? What Brother Branham is saying is right. But we need the Holy Ghost to bring it to the right place. Can you fall from eternal life? I know what one man tried to explain to me one time. He said, I can't see it. He said that was back there in the Old Testament, and they could fall. I said, brother.
They didn't have eternal.
Brother. Don't go that way. That's that mind reasoning. To try to figure things out. I said, you can't go that way. God's not an ending giver.
Right.
He won't give you something and take it back.
Right.
So if he's not an ending giver, then he can't do that. See, it can't be that. Of saying, well, that was the Old Testament. It could happen there because the blood of Jesus Christ. Like Brother Dick's quoting, we're real good around here to quote what? Those Old Testament saints never had eternal life in their soul. Now show me where they did. I gave you a whole bunch of quotes earlier the other day where Brother Rand was explaining it. But they didn't have it because the Holy Ghost had not been given.
Amen.
Jesus Christ had not been crucified.
Amen.
You couldn't have eternal life in the soul of mankind in the Old Testament. Adam was in partation as a beginning. Jesus Christ was then the beginning of the creation of God because he would tie together the whole thing and he did have eternal life. Then he breathed on the disciples in the upper room, which is breathing on the disciples. And that means he's breathing on you and I. A promise of the Holy Ghost, but you must go and receive it.
Right.
So what is he saying? Part of number, go ahead, pull back up number, because we didn't get 93 paragraph. Pull back up number 5. We don't need anybody to interpret to us. We know that Adam fell from eternal life. Adam fell to death. He brought death upon all creation. Now, it was given free moral agency. It was given to them just as we so to make a choice. Now, Adam and Eve, in the beginning, there was a tree of right and wrong before them. And that tree, tree of death, right? Come on. And that tree sets before each and every one of us. So you see what I've been doing the past 3 services, and I will for a while. I've been talking about back there, but bringing it down to where we are here to anchor it and prove that it's right. Right? Back there, remember the message? He breathed on Adam, or breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. He breathed on the bride, and it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. He'll breathe in the last days, and we'll walk out of here, which he's breathing on us by the revealed word. I didn't finish the whole of that, but I hope you've caught enough of it. Brother Brown's message, as he was preaching it, there's where God is breathing on you. Now, you tell me any other way you're going to get it. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to trust in another prophet. You're going to have to be looking for another prophet. But if you can take his message, that's why it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. It's still going around the world. All right, we took that, right? Then we took Eve, that in her spirit realm, she reasoned. And that's what you and I are doing, and that's where it's contrary to God's word, is for us to reason upon the word. And Satan is exactly like he was back there. He's doing the same thing now to you and me. Now showing you this to point to help us. Because look, folks, God isn't doing for Adam and Eve. You say, well, it's their fault. No, not now it isn't. It's your fault. You can't place it on Adam and Eve. You've got to place it on yourself, because right and wrong is set before you. We're on the same basis as Adam and Eve. Same basis. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is setting before all of us. As a matter of fact, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is in the brain of every one of us. I don't care what you think. Oh, it's not in my brain, bless God. I've got it right. Yeah. Think about it then. Brother Branham, do Christians die? Do Christians die? Naturally, yeah. Huh? But a Christian can't die. You died the day you was born again.
Amen.
You didn't die, you ain't born again.
Amen.
Right? Message of the resurrection. Go ahead, number 6, and they can look at it. Christians do not die. There is no scripture in the Bible that says Christians die. Amen. A person that lives in pleasure is dead while he liveth. Death means he's separation from God. And sinners are separated from God, but Christians never separate from God. They just leave the body here to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? They just leave the body here to be with the Lord. They don't die. You need another one? I've got another one. If you want to flip over, they can give you number 7. Where he says, what? He said, Christians sleep. He said, Stephen Said when they were stoning him, said God just reached down and got him. And he said he never felt another rock. He said, because like, and it's not maybe that one, but it's one I was listening to, it's on the token. He said, God just picked him and got him and said, he never felt another rock. Said, like a baby in the bosom of the mother. Said, he just went to sleep. True born again Christians go to sleep. But we use the word die. Huh? Oh, they died. My daddy, he died. My mother, he died. My brother, he died. Brother Branham, he died. No, he just went to sleep. Because death can't harm a Christian. If you have eternal life in your soul, how can Satan get to you? You know what Brother Branham said he'd have to do? He said he'd have to be justified and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost to get inside of your soul if your soul is eternal. Now, is that right? And he said, that'd make him your brother.
Amen.
Now, you remember that quote? He said, that'd make him your brother.
Yep.
So that can't be. All right. So Christians don't die.
Amen.
They go to sleep. But it says, Moses, now wait a minute, I better correct that one because I'm fixing to say Moses because Moses never died. Brother Brown said he did. Now that's, the scripture says he did, but he never did. He did.
They
just buried him, it says. But, all right, listen. So what happened to Adam? Because if Adam died, the word death, then he was eternally separated from God. And he couldn't have had eternal life and then lost eternal life. That's an ending giver. It doesn't work. Huh? So if Brother Dale, that old heart, keep skipping some until one day it just quits. And you walk up in the look in the casket and say, Brother Dale died. You lied. I ain't there.
Right?
I'm sleeping somewhere else. The old body's there. Right? Spirit's gone out of it. Soul's gone under the altar. So what happened to Adam? Simple. Simple. Adam physically died. He was separated from his body, but his soul never died. Because if his soul died, it was eternal, and then God took it back away from him and made him die, then he can do the same thing to you. And that ain't correct. He's not an ending giver. He's not going to give nobody eternal life and then take it back from them. So now let's get a simple little answer. And here's where you don't like Brother Dale, but I wish you would explain. I've laid it out. You got the pulpit. I'm not sarcastic. I'm not hateful. Maybe you think I am. But come up here and explain how Adam had eternal life in his soul and he died. And if he died the word death, we call it, then he would be eternally separated from God, which would mean that you'd put him in hell. Now, is that being a smart aleck? I like what one man said one time I asked a question. He got up behind me and he said, I hate it when a man asks a question when he's the only man in the building that had the answer. I laughed and said, I wouldn't ask the question if I hadn't had the answer.
That's right.
Yeah. You see, I'm on the line, folks. I stay on it. Internet people hearing me. I'm on the line all the time. Because I'll tell you what I believe. But you go ask your pastor what he believes about the soul. What he believes about the spirit or the reasonings or the things. Ask him about the Daniel 70 weeks. Ask him about the seals. Ask him about marriage and divorce. Ask him about the soul of Almighty God. Ask him about predestination. Why don't you do that? Because you know you're going to get it. Because he's going to tear you to pieces from the pulpit. Right? Sorry, folks. Would you explain that to me and just tell me? But why not take a simple, sensible answer? Adam walked out of the garden. He was not deceived. The Bible said it. He knew what he was doing. So he sold the human race to death over the love of a woman.
That's right.
Am I true?
Amen.
You can type Christ with him all you want to, but just be careful how you type Christ with him, because we don't want to make Christ a murderer and different things. You just be careful how you type it, okay? But how did Adam fall from eternal life? Because the man Adam, now are you listening? And boy, you're going to square on this one for a little bit, so start chewing. Because I've spent service after service declaring that Adam had eternal life in his soul. But see, Adam did not have eternal life in his body. Nor his spirit.
Right.
And neither do you.
Right.
So you're standing in the same way.
Sure.
You don't have eternal life in your spirit and your body.
Right.
That's where Jesus was ahead of us, because in spirit and body he was Almighty God.
Right.
I mean, spirit and soul, he was Almighty God, and then his body was made eternal. Come on, I was quoting them there to you the other day, future home. Come on, read what the prophet said. Brother Brown said, in the future home, what did he say? He said, in quoting the scripture, from this part of the earth that I have redeemed, he said, then I'll redeem your bodies. Jesus' body was not eternal. Jesus' body had a beginning, and anything that has a beginning can't be eternal. It has to be made eternal. You can't create something eternal. So then Adam's body was not eternal. Jesus' body was not eternal. Not that he needed redemption. No way now. But he needed his body made eternal. He come up in that resurrection, and it was made eternal. Now he's body, spirit, and soul, Almighty God.
Amen.
Eternal. But see, Adam never had an eternal body. So it's very simple then. What was the eternal life that Adam fell from? He fell from the basis that he never reached eternal life in his body. He never reached eternal life in his spirit. That's simple. Now you got what Brother Branham, you remember, emphasized a little. He said he lost the claims. Now you got the story. Until these bodies are changed, we only have a claim.
Amen. Right.
Once they're redeemed, it won't be a claim. I could spend all the rest of the night now preaching on what? You know, you don't have an eternal covenant.
Right.
You know the prophets explained that? Because once you're redeemed, you don't need a covenant.
Right?
Now we got it right. But see, Adam in body and spirit was not eternal. So he died. Brother Branham's body and spirit was not eternal, so he died. Anybody that died, body and spirit, was not eternal. They died. The one man that had the opportunity to do all of it had to go through a great horrible thing to pass from death to life in his flesh. Right? So there's no such thing to a Christian as losing eternal life. So there's no such thing as a Adam losing eternal life in his soul. He just never achieved it in his body. Now, Brother Branham's right. He fell from eternal life to death. And he took all of us with him. But he didn't fall to eternal separation. Almighty God fell from life to death, but not eternal separation. But he raised. And like I said, it's so wonderful because, see, I love that where you got the answer. You talk about Adam. Well, Adam was just totally lost. Brother Brown said one day, there's something going to happen. He said, Adam will reach over and get Eve. Eve will reach over and get Abel. Abel will get Seth. And said, come right down through there. See, that's the thing in Ephesians that we've got to come to, where it says the redemption of the purchased possession. The redemption of the purchased possession, which means you don't have it. That's the reason it says that. The redemption of the purchased. It's purchased, but it ain't made manifest. Your body is redeemed. But it ain't been made manifest yet. That's why I love it over in Romans. When you get down to Romans and studying it, or the adoption and things, when the last one it says, and to wit, the redemption of our body. Go home and look up to wit. To wit means to understand. Amen. To understand the redemption of the body. Who's going to understand that in this dispensation, according to Ephesians?
Right.
In this dispensation. This is the dispensation not of the new birth. That come at Calvary, you know, on the day of Pentecost. This is the coming to the adoption. To understand the redemption of the body. To where it can be made manifest. Adam never lost what was in his soul. He just never made it. Now, may I say it without you getting mad at me about everything else. The ones before you and I have not made it to the change yet. Because their body's in the grave waiting on Hebrews 11:40. They, without us, cannot be made perfect. Look up the word perfect there. It doesn't mean perfection. It means complete. They, without us, cannot be made complete. Somebody better get to digging in.
Amen.
We've had 40 years to run around Horeb. 50. To run around and around Horeb. It's about time to step out. But any of you that's been here, Brother Collie's sitting there on the front row, you ask him, I taught this like this 40 years ago.
Amen.
You heard his amen. My wife's sitting back there. My kids maybe was too young to understand a lot. But I taught this same thing 40 years ago.
Yep.
Brother Moat was teaching The Stature of a Perfect Man in 1971.
That's right.
But even today, people don't want to, they don't preach on the Stature of a Perfect Man. Hey, it's so great, revelated. That's great. Why do we need them things? If it's in the Word of God, we need it. Let's stand, somebody. Come on, musicians. It's in the Word of God. We need it.
Amen.
What do we need them seals, Brother Dale? In the Word of God, we need it.
Right.
Do we need marriage and divorce? In the Word of God, we need it.
Right.
Do we need Daniel 70 week? In the Word of God, we need it.
Amen.
If it's there, we need it. If not, why did he put it there?
That's right.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Adam never lost what was in his soul. He just never reached the position that he should have attained unto.
That's right.
Which was the redemption of the body. Now listen to me. You're standing up where you won't be asleep. The tree of life was in the garden.
Right.
Amen.
Right?
Yes. Right.
Put them out. Lest they partake of the tree of life. And live forever. I read you the scripture to start with. Put that man out. He can't come to this because he's lost now in the basis of coming to the change of his body. Put him out before he gets that tree. Who is the tree of life? The Word of God. What was in the garden? Not a Bible. But the Word of God is the tree of life. Why you want to read Playboy magazines and garbage cans when you've got the most wonderful thing to be able to read? And it is your Bible. In that Bible, brother was quoting the other night, in this message lays what? Rapturing faith and rapturing grace. You know what? It's going to take great grace, ain't it? Thank God for the truth.
Amen.
What do we got?
48 in the black book.
48 in the black book. Anybody have a need?
Bless your name. Amen. In prisoner's chains.
Just come and let's bleed.
With bleeding skies. All inside.
Her sister wants a prayer cloth because they're going with Sister Rebecca. She's having to go up on her job. To nice Memphis. All right. And they want the prayer cloth just for everything to be all right. All right. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. And we thank you for the truth. We love you in Jesus' name.
I bless your name.
Get the plane down? Did you get the plane down out of the tree? You ain't got it? It'll come down.
The truth away.
Alright.
I bless your name.
I'm sorry, I left.
Some midnight hour, if you could find. You're in a place.
Sister's going on a trip. And you just be with them and give them a safe trip. And let everything be all right. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
And they will fall. In Jesus' name.
What about it? What do you believe?
Bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Jesus. We send these prayer calls in the name of Jesus Christ for these. We love you. Anybody else just have a need?
If you should find you're in a prison in your mind.
But that's
name. Our brother wants to testify about something that's happened, so if you will, come ahead, right?
Yeah. Bless you, saints.
Amen.
Just wanted to give a quick testimony. I don't try to take not too long. But something that happened to us last Friday while we were at the Mall of Georgia. And we were just there and there was when we went into to the mall that when we went in, I found this cologne and this perfume that was called Amazing Grace. So it had all these different. I think there was another one. I forgot the name of it, and I thought it was really interesting. So I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Bro Bob, and I sent it to Joe, and just kind of thought it was really interesting, you know. That they're using these terms, you know, for colognes and perfumes and things like that. Right. So, at that moment when I took the picture of the cologne, I didn't know, but I had set my car keys down at that area, and we took a picture. I was sending the text, and we just kept going and walking around the mall. We walked, I guess, for about an hour and a half. And when we got to leaving, and I said, I don't have the keys. Where's the keys? And we walked around the mall, told security that we had lost our keys, and we probably were walking around the mall maybe 45 minutes. I mean, and that mall is big, you know. We walk up and down that mall, and upstairs, downstairs, everything. And I separated myself from my wife, and she was looking. And she had the girls, and I was by myself. And it was one point where I went outside, and I was just looking around, maybe around where the car was at, to see if I had dropped them there. And that wasn't there, so I went back inside. And at that moment, Christine was praying, you know, and I was praying within myself. And Christine was praying, and she said, "You know, Lord," she said, "you know where these keys are," and said, "If you could just, I have my girls with me. If you can just show them how powerful you are." And it wasn't 2 minutes later we went back to. She went to the counter, and she asked, "Has anybody seen some keys around here?" And she's like, "Was it a big keychain?" They said, "Yeah, yeah. Here they are. Here they are." And they had found them. And so, but Bella got to see, and she said, I forgot what it was. You told Bella something about that we have a miracle working God. And so, of course, Bella got to see that, and God answered that prayer.
Amen.
But it was amazing. I asked the lady, I found Christine again, and I asked the lady, I was thanking her, and I said, "Where were they at?" She said, "They were right there." And it was right there where that cologne was at, the Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I thought, you know, Lord, it's how you're so patient with us.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes we slack and we don't do what we need to do, and yet His amazing grace, you know, is still abundant. You know, when we're lost and we're not in the position where we need to be at times, yet His amazing grace is abundant. Amen.
Right.
And so I just wanted to share that because they were about to close the mall within 15 minutes. And I said, "What are we going to do?" And these keys could be anywhere, you know. And so, God just showed up right on time. And
Amen.
As He always does. And I want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Exactly. I believe it, don't you? He's a miracle working God. And like He said, you know, it's amazing how all the world has taken over. What gets me is the one that they have now of all of these books and things and Bibles called The Message. Have you seen those? You hadn't been in the bookstore lately then. Because go to a Bible bookstore and you'll see a shelf full of things called The Message. But don't pick them up thinking you're going to read about Brother Branham. But why would they come up with a call it The Message? Because we believe The Message. Huh? Anybody else? Anybody before we leave?
Can I give a little brief testimony?
Go ahead.
About 3 nights before Sunday, it was Thursday night, I think. I was walking, you know, my foot's as it become, it was healed a long time ago, but I was walking into that healing, and I had such a sharp pain on top of my foot, which wasn't the area that I was really hurt. And I asked Janet, I said, to pray for me and rub at it. And she said, well, you got to rub that pain out of her. I'm telling you, she can rub pain out of it.
Yeah.
And she rubbed it really hard, and I was hurting. But, you know, I know she was praying. And right after that, I've walked without any pain or
Amen.
Any stumbling or anything. And that was, it was finished right there. And I just thank God for a praying wife. Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
You get a problem. You get a hurting. Just rub it.
Amen.
You know what the doctor told me, the heart doctor? He said, you're 75. He said, Sam, if you bump yourself, it'll bruise. He said, when you bump yourself, he said, just rub it. This is a medical doctor, heart doctor. He said, just rub it, and said, you'll see it won't bruise. Well, I've had right there, and my wife and them can testify, a growth right there that Danny had. He was operated on. Well, right here on his arm, June had one. But, you know, mine's not there. There's all it is. You know why? Because I rub it. You say, well, what's that got to do with it? Because while I'm rubbing it, I'm praying. But I got one on my foot now that I want you to pray for. Because I'm rubbing it. But it sure bothers me with boots and things trying to walk, you know. So you just pray for it. I don't care if you're rubbing it. You don't have to do that. Just pray for my foot, okay? Anybody else? Anything?
You know there's power in your body.
Right.
And I went to a workers' comp when I fell and hurt my face. And they had me laid out on this thing, you know, and this doctor came in, and she just started doing like this. And I thought, what in the world is this woman doing, you know? And I asked her, what are you doing? And she says, I'm working the pain out of
you. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's amazing the power. And Connie, my oldest daughter, her little boy, she does that to him playing football, and he'll want Mama come rub me. I mean, we have power in these bodies. We don't even realize we've got, you know?
Sure. It's been scientifically proven and shown by x-rays that you lay your hand on a person, the rays go from one to the other.
Yes.
That's scientific.
Yeah.
That's not just talking.
Yeah.
It's been proven that you lay your hand there and rays go from one to the other.
That's right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. The thought come to me is as I stand around and, you know, talking about Brother Branham, and the Lord told Brother Branham, said, you can get him to believe you. Like that, you know?
Yeah.
But you get to talking to people and they say, well, that's Brother Branham. That makes a difference with you.
Hmm.
If somebody comes and asks you to pray for them, you pray for them.
Right.
Because they believe you can touch them.
Exactly.
And if they believe you can touch them, it'll go.
Right. I'll go one step further. You ask somebody to pray for you, you know they don't have to pray.
That's right.
It's what you believe.
Is
what you believe. They don't have to pray. I've seen that over and over. I don't worry about it. Anybody else before we go?
Last week, Sunday, I should pray for my knee. But Saturday, Friday, was the first time in my life I had to use a cane to walk. And I walked, but it didn't do no good. So Sunday, we come up and pray for it. And 2 days, 3 days later, I have no pain.
Amen.
Whatever. And I just want to ask everybody too about them. Thank you, but pray for the show that I got to have surgery on December 1st. And lots of times, it feel like I don't need to have surgery on it, but the pain is gone. But I guess I'm going to have it.
Right. We don't have no problem. We're going to the doctor. Because we know who the healer is. Just remember, Brother Colley, that'd be Tuesday, I think, right? That he's going to have his shoulder operated on, so remember that. Anybody else?
The other day, I was at the doctor's office, and we were talking, discussing what I did. I said, you know there's nothing absolute. She said, you're right.
Yeah. Not in life there's not, but there is in God.
Only in the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Sister Anna.
Remember Brother Colley, too. He's going to be with Al while Rebecca and I are gone.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be taking care of Al.
Oh.
Probably
the dog. Uh-oh. Sound like Brother Colley, the shoulder's really going to get worked on. Just kidding. Brother Al.
Brother Sam, we've all had, I reckon, a lot of us have had our problems with our shoulders. But I'd just like to ask everybody here that has anything like that to remember my mother. She's got two tendons torn off on both shoulders and can't get her hands above about like that and still trying to live by herself.
Right. Remember that. Just remember Brother Al's mother, if you heard him. She's not able to raise her hands up and do up. Remember Peggy, because she's been going through a lot of things and having a lot of problems
and
things, and just ask the Lord to take care of it.
That's right.
And just get rid of all that. You want to say anything? Did you want to say something? Oh, okay. Just pray for her. She's got a lot of physical problems that's bothering her, so just keep her in your prayers, all right? Brother Danny?
Talking about Brother Al's mother. I've got three of the four muscles in my left arm that they're not even attached. I'm not even supposed to be able to do this.
Right.
I can do that.
Amen.
You're a miracle. Anyway, we know who.
We know who the healer is. We know who will take care of all things. Amen. Anybody else before we go?
Y'all pray for us.
Pray for these that are traveling and different things. That the Lord bless. All right. Father, we thank you for tonight. And we pray that what we've said has been worthy. Not to try to just be in how smart we are or anything. Forgive me. If anybody would think that I'm trying to be a smart aleck about this, come on up here and explain this. I want to know, Lord, the truth. I'm interested in you, and if I'm not bringing it right, then I want to know what the truth is, because it ain't no such thing as playing around here. This is a garbage can of life. What would it be if we owned the whole thing? But Lord, I just want to be true in life and believe you. But I want the people to see how much I believe you, because I believe your word. I don't know everything, Lord, but I know one thing. The things you've made known to me, I don't mind telling anybody about what I believe, because I believe it, and I just stand on it with your word. Be with the people on the way home. Take care of everybody. Thank you for the testimonies and the things, Lord, it's been said tonight. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
I